Indeed, tonight it is a blessing to look into the faces of so many. I was going to say to have so many eyes looking this direction, but I'm not sure that makes me comfortable. It is a special blessing to have each of you young people here tonight. I hope I can share a few words of reminiscing here tonight without getting emotional. Last evening, as I was sitting here prior to the service, there was a thought came to my mind. I was looking over the card of the list of messages, and I don't want you to think I had to look to see what I was going to preach on last night. My eyes fell on the subject that we want to share this evening. And there was a thought came to my mind. It was 36 years ago this spring. I was on staff at Torreon Mission, and I came back to be a part of a wedding and to see a young lady that has now been my wife for almost 33 years. Sister Judy Miller Churchfield was on staff at Torreon at that time, and I think she was the one responsible for setting up a dinner engagement for Sally and I. And after supper, we went to services at the North Codorus house. We walked in, I remember the place was packed. And just before we entered the building, a brother said to me, he said, I guess I was supposed to tell you that, I think it's Brother Harold Martin, wanted me to give a report on the work at Torreon that evening. So I had a little bit of a shock before I walked in. But that evening, the message that preceded the report that we shared was given by an elderly brother by the name of David Lehigh. And he used the text that we plan to use as a springboard for the message tonight. And some of you probably remember, I guess I only heard Brother David preach one time, that he used the chalkboard and he drew the camels on the chalkboard as he shared a message about the leading of God in our lives through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And that message ministered to me that night in a way that I hope someday I can thank Brother David. I was in the midst of a struggle in my life, and I was seeking for the will of God and the direction of God in my life, and that message ministered to me. It met me right where I was at. It gave me hope. It met a need in my life that night. And I would just say to you young people tonight, I pray that the message here this evening might meet a similar need in your lives, if it's there. But I do want to say that over the last 36 years, I can say and I can testify, when you seek out the blessing and the direction and the will of God for your life, you're going to find God faithful. I want to give you that tonight. And I thank you for being here. Well, it's an interesting story that Brother Bob has read for us, and we'd like to use not the story so much as a phrase that comes out of the story, but the whole story itself, to me, is a picture of what God wants to do in our lives. And especially, I think it's so pertinent to those of you who are young. You make so many critical decisions for your life, maybe between the years of 15 and 30. Some of those decisions that shape and set the sail of your life, not only for time, but for eternity. And I want you to know tonight that God is there And he wants to be with you and walk with you. He wants to give you direction far more than you're seeking that direction. He will be there for you. God wants to lead your life. He wants to give you his ultimate blessing. But I assure you tonight, as it was with Eliezer, it will be with each one of us. If we want God's ultimate blessing, we must seek his face. We must follow him, his leading. We need to stay in the circle of his blessing. There's an interesting verse in the Old Testament. I'm not going to turn to it, but it says basically this: the eyes of the Lord go to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of those whose heart is perfect toward him. The word perfect there means complete, made ready, at peace with. And to me, it speaks of a life that has found peace in the perfect will of God through the path of submission and surrender. Young people, tonight, I ask you, have you given your all to the Lord? Have you released your life and your future to God? Have you laid it before him? And as Brother Bob mentioned, I don't remember if it was in his opening or in his prayer, I'm not just talking tonight about some fire insurance. I'm talking about surrender. Laying your life at the disposal of one that you have come to trust totally with your life. As we look at the story of Eliezer, we see he's on a mission to secure a bride for Isaac. We know that Eliezer wanted God's best for Isaac. He wanted to please and fulfill the will of his master. And we see that he prayed. He sought the face of God. He sought the will of God, the direction of God. I had similar thoughts to what Brother Bob had. You know, if your father sent your hired man to find you a life companion, I am convinced tonight your prayer life would improve too. Because it's such a critical element, step, dimension of your life, that companion for life. And this evening, we're not going to be looking at the subject of marriage, what we would like. We're not even going to look at the subject of courtship. But I'd rather look this evening at what I might call some pre-courtship considerations. Young people, as you seek to know and find and follow the will of God for your life, remember, divine guidance normally does not come through some sensational flash of lightning or clap of thunder, but rather I find that it comes in a quiet unfolding of this reality while we are busy in the way, his way, in the will of the Lord, serving him, seeking to accomplish and fulfill his purpose and plan for your life. And I want to focus our attention just briefly upon verse 26 and verse 27 of this chapter. It unfolds so beautifully. Eliezer had laid out, I guess you would say, a fleece before God. He wanted to be faithful. And that's so important in our lives. But he comes to this 26th verse. God has fulfilled. He has answered. He has met the conditions. And it says the man bowed down his head and worshiped the Lord. And he said, blessed be the Lord of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I, being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. I want to focus on that thought. I, being in the way, the Lord led me. And I just believe that as young people, and for all of us for that matter, if we pursue the will of God, if we seek to be about his work and his will, his plan for our life, I believe it is while we are doing the will of God that God is willing, little by little, to unfold his plan and his purposes, the direction for our life. And I encourage you in that dimension tonight. I believe it is very normal in the pursuit of companionship for life to focus our attention on the qualities of a potential mate, and I believe that is wise. But this evening, even before we take that step, I think it is more important, it's very important to focus our attention and energy upon ourselves first. Our first consideration should be that of becoming the person we should be, becoming what God wants us to be. Because until we become what God wants us to be, we can never offer to our future mate all God wants for them. And so I believe becoming what God wants us to be is so important. Remember tonight, true love is not focused on getting, but true love's character is one that is focused on giving. And tonight we can never give all God wants for our future companion until God has done a work in our life, until we have become all God wants us to be. And so that's the focus tonight that we would like to turn our attention to. I believe the more we become what God wants us to be, the more we have to offer our companion for life. And I challenge you, young people, to come to the place where you can say with Eliezer, I being in the way, the Lord led me. I can testify that tonight. God will lead. He will be there for you. If you put your hand in His and seek His face and His will for your life. Oh, I believe when two young people seek God and love God and walk with God and become what God wants you to be, as God would lead you together into courtship, I tell you there is a relationship that God can bless and use to accomplish His sweet will. Pre-courtship considerations. What is important before you enter into courtship? I would submit several things to you tonight. Number one, a growing relationship with Christ. A growing relationship with Christ. Young people, there is nothing in this world, no amount of strength, no amount of beauty, no amount of intelligence or education, money or the ability to earn money, nothing more important or valuable that you can bring to your relationship than that of an intimacy and a closeness in your walk with the Lord Jesus. Whether single or married, every person's greatest focus and love and pursuit should be that relationship with Jesus Christ. That's the most important choice and decision that life holds. It's so important. To find and make the Lord your companion for a period of time before seeking that special human companionship is so important. In marriage, two people seek to draw closer and closer to God. If God is number one in their life, as they focus upon their relationship with God, as they get closer and closer to God with that common focus, what happens to them? What happens to their relationship? They will find they are getting closer and closer and closer, enjoying greater intimacy in every way. But I ask you tonight to think about if two individuals do not have that common focus. Maybe one is a believer, the other a non-believer, or one is pursuing God and the other is just, you know, kind of drifting along. What happens? One is moving toward God, the other may be moving away from God. And what happens to their relationship? They'll never know the fullness of what God has for them and has in store and planned and prepared for the marriage relationship unless both are pursuing God as their number one focus in life. So I challenge you in that tonight to seek God, to seek a growing relationship with Him. So this evening, young people, I ask you, is Jesus the Lord of your life? Have you laid that issue front and center in your life? Until he is Lord of your life, you have yet to address life's most important decision. And tonight, until he is Lord of your life, you're really not equipped. And you're not ready for life's second most important decision. You need that in your life. Courtship is a process of analysis and decision. And these are decisions that will impact your life for time and even eternity. And so these are decisions that call for the wisdom that only God can provide you, the direction, the discernment that is so important there. I think of a couple verses in Proverbs, words of wisdom from the wise man. He says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding." The fear of the Lord. So number one, I challenge and encourage you to have a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. Secondly, tonight, I believe, very important, number two, to come to that place of submission to authority in your life. Tonight, if we want God's blessing, we must do it God's way, in God's will, and in God's time. Hebrews 13:17 is a very powerful and pertinent verse for us to consider. It says, "Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your soul, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy, not with grief." Obey, submit to authority in your life. Tonight, as you seek the leading and direction of God in your life, I just want you to remember that God has chosen to use human hands and hearts and minds to provide much of that direction and much of that protection for your life. One of the greatest blessings to us is the God-given authority, that dimension that is in the home, as well as within the church family. Direction. The direction of God-given authority in our lives. As you look at Hebrews 13:17, I believe the he is referring to there speaks of that authority figure, that God-given authority in the home and within the church. Obey them that are watching for your soul. Considering that courtship is very much a decision-making process and that parents are God-given counselors, it follows the young people that wish to make wise decisions and choices in courtship should have a healthy, open, honest relationship with mom and dad. And I just encourage you young people to cultivate that. God has given you an incredibly powerful blessing in your lives. When you have questions, when you have decisions of importance in your life, share that with your parents. If you come to that place where you begin to feel that electricity flow and you begin to think about a special person, I just encourage you, sit down and talk to mom and dad. Get them involved. As you have questions about life, I'm not going to tell you that mom and dad are always going to have the answer. But even if they don't have the answer for you, what a blessing tonight to have two people that love you more than anyone else on earth as your prayer partners. They're going to pray for you, and they're going to be there for you. An incredible blessing, and I just encourage you tonight, don't overlook the fact that God has provided an umbrella protection in submission to authority in your life. But tonight we can lose that protection if we allow rebellion in our lives. And we walk out from under that umbrella protection. It's been said, if there are two rebels in a group, they will find each other in moments. And I would just say to you, young man, young lady here tonight, if you're not honoring your parents, if you're resisting their authority in your life, the probability is very high that you will find someone else on that same path. And now you have two young people that have closed their ears to the leading and pleading and thus the blessing of God's direction and protection for their lives. And I just tell you, it's a dangerous place to be. God wants to lead you. He wants to guide you. But tonight we need to accept the authority that God has placed over us, whether it be in the home or whether it be in the church. They are there as a blessing from heaven to guide and direct your lives. Young people, courtship can be one of the most beautiful chapters of your life. But I tell you tonight, it can also be the beginning of one of the saddest, most regretful paths that you will walk in life. And much of it will be determined by whether you have a heart that is submissive to God-ordained authority in your life. Submission to authority. Courtship is a path with potential pitfalls, but God has provided us direction, protection through authority that He has given us in life. And I believe one of the great marks of maturity is coming to that place where we find authority. We see authority as a blessing, something we can thank God for and be grateful for, rather than seeing it as some kind of a straitjacket hindrance to our freedom. Tonight, are we mature enough to come to that place of submission to authority? Thirdly, tonight, we consider the issue of moral purity. The wise man says in Proverbs 31, verses 10 and 11, he asks the question, "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her." Who can find a virtuous woman? Oh, I believe that question was asked a long time before this generation. This generation where the majority of young people are sexually active before marriage. But I tell you tonight, young people, the price and value of moral purity to God and to your future companion is still far above the value of rubies. It is precious. It is priceless tonight. One of the most beautiful joys of marriage relationship is the knowledge that intimacy, both physical and emotional, is exclusive. A one-man woman, a one-woman man coming together, that tonight is the beauty of marital love. But I assure you tonight that can be all messed up if we aren't careful. Oh, I know we serve a God who is willing to forgive and to heal our lives when we come to repentance. But there is something about that pearl of virgin purity that when lost can never be fully and wholly regained. There will be an element of regret that will follow you the rest of your life. Tonight, we need to understand the blessing of trust. And exclusive intimacy in marriage is very dependent upon purity ahead of marriage. The young person that feeds his mind or her mind on impure imaginations, stories, pictures, or practices simply is not ready or prepared for the fidelity that is necessary in marriage to experience God's ultimate and wonderful blessing that is there. Please understand, I realize we're all faced with moral temptations. Temptations are a reality in life, and I tell you tonight, they won't stop when you get old and when you get married. That's a reality. Temptation is a reality in life, but the point here is this: those who are following their lusts are simply not ready for courtship or marriage. I just challenge you to come to a place of moral purity in your life before you begin to seek out a companion for your life. I want to share one point here, as it relates to moral purity. Moral purity involves our bodies, yes, but it also involves our heart, our mind, and our emotions. And so I encourage you tonight, as young people especially, to be careful what you read, where you allow your mind to go and dwell, what you focus your eyes upon. Immoral thoughts and pictures seem to burn so deeply into the mind. If we aren't careful, they're going to be baggage that you drag into your marriage, baggage that will crowd and hinder the trust, the love, the intimacy that God wants to give you and wants you to enjoy in the marriage relationship. The wise man, I believe, says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Keep thy heart, guard it as a precious, precious treasure. Guard that purity in your life tonight. Fourthly, this evening, I challenge you to have a biblical understanding and concept of love. And this follows hard on the heels of the previous one. But we live in a society that has a very distorted understanding of love. You see it in the songs, the literature, the advertisements. It all speaks of a sensual love. It really is little more than a self-indulgent playground where there's no thought of commitment, no thought of faithfulness. It's the if it feels good, do it mentality. And tonight, within the framework of God's plan and God's blessing, that circle of blessing, God has placed some parameters in this whole area of love and moral purity. Love in the man-woman relationship does involve feelings and emotions, but this is not the dimension of love that will last and stand and grow in the time frame of the permanency of marriage. This kind of love will not stand the test of time and the test of struggle. So much of what is seen as love today is little more than infatuated lust. People that fall into love are likely to fall out of love or lust. And I guess that's why 50% of marriages do not last. When God tells a husband to love his wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, this evening, this is an agape love. This isn't the kind of love that Hollywood's selling tonight, I promise you. This is a love that is not simply based on emotion and the whims of feeling, but rather it is a love that is a choice. It is a commitment. It's a decision. Love, it is a choice. It's unselfish. It's sacrificial. It's unconditional. It loves in spite of. It loves in the face of struggle and disappointment and even mistreatment. Biblical love is characterized by sacrificial commitment. It involves a commitment to this for life. It finds fulfillment in giving and blessing another life. And it continues to give even when it does not receive in return. It's unconditional. I'm thankful that love between a man and a woman has a strong feeling. But I think tonight we need to understand that feelings come and go, and thus marital love cannot operate primarily on feelings, but rather on a commitment that is both sacrificial and selfless in nature. Read the love chapter. You're going to see the character and the qualities of love that are necessary there for that relationship to be long-term and that relationship to be in the circle of God's blessing and experience God's ultimate. Fifthly, tonight, I encourage you to develop character and personal responsibility. Tonight, these are simply qualities of maturity, and yet they're necessary, they're needful for a relationship that is going to be blessed by God, that is going to be a growing relationship that becomes sweeter as the days go by. The course of life abounds with responsibilities, and certainly marriage brings a whole new basket full of growing responsibilities. There are problems to solve, there are obligations to meet. And I guess tonight what I am saying in simple words is marriage is not for children. But it's for adults that have learned to face and respond to personal responsibilities. Developing responsibilities is part of growing up. It's part of maturity. As you look at the responsibilities of married life, there are a multitude of them. Providing for financial needs of the family. I find it interesting as I have talked with young couples that maybe have been married 3 months or 6 months. Sometimes I'll ask them, what's been the biggest surprise in marriage or setting up housekeeping? And very often, the number one item that comes up is, I didn't know it took so much money to live. I promise you, living at home off of mom and dad is a whole lot cheaper than it's going to be when you set up your own home. There are going to be financial responsibilities that you need to be disciplined enough to take in hand and address. This calls for planning ahead. It calls for the discipline to save money and not use it to buy another gun just because deer season's coming, or maybe another snowmobile because winter's coming. You have bills, you have obligations, you have responsibilities. There are bills to pay on time. Credit cards have a day of reckoning every month. There's appointments to meet. There are duties to care for around the home, and you can call them, they often get called honey-do lists. And from this perspective, this side of marriage, you may look at honey-do lists and think, no big deal. But I promise you, your attitude as men toward those kind of responsibilities in the home, and I believe the same can be said from the wife's side of the picture. Responsibility and discipline in these areas of the home can be ingredients that either make you and provide for you a relationship that is a bit of heaven on earth, or a struggle from day one. It'll be up to you. Little things make so much difference in the marriage relationship. Tonight, as two people come together in courtship and look ahead to marriage, they should be mature enough to look beyond the honeymoon. The honeymoon may last for a week or two, but tonight marriage is for a lifetime. And though the honeymoon doesn't have to ever end, and I encourage you not to allow it to end, but I do want you to remember, life won't always be all lace and lemonade. It will have its stresses. It will have its challenges. And that tonight is why it is so important to understand biblical love, the commitment of charity in your life toward one another, that sacrificial dimension. And also tonight, the importance of coming to a place of maturity in your life before you enter and begin to pursue a companionship for life. Well, as we bring this lesson to a close tonight, I just say the institution of marriage is one of God's most beautiful gifts to the human family. Courtship is a time of analysis and preparation. And I believe the concepts we've looked at here this evening are some of those building blocks that are important, valuable. And I encourage you to take heart, take them to heart tonight. A strong foundation upon which to build a lasting relationship, one that God can bless. I'll review them one more time, a growing relationship with Christ, submission to authority, a life of purity, a biblical understanding and concept of love, and then building that character and personal responsibility into your life. I want to close this evening where we started, and that's with our relationship with Christ and submission to His Lordship in our life. Young people, I say again, the number one thing that you can do to prepare for this chapter of your life is for you to answer the call of Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, where Paul said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren and sisters, because of the mercy of God, that you present your bodies, your life, a living sacrififice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is but your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable, perfect will of God. Again, I ask, young people, is Jesus Lord in your life? Have you laid it all on the altar? Are you to that place in life where you're willing to lay your life at the feet, at the disposal, at the choosing of the Lord Jesus, His Lordship in your life? We close with a little story this evening. It's a story of a little young brother and sister. As the story goes, the boy had a special bag of marbles that was a real treasure. His little sister had a special bag of candy that she liked. And one day he said to her, you give me all your candy, and I'll give you all my marbles. Well, she went to her room and looked at her wonderful bag of candy. Boy, she hardly wanted to give that up, but she said, I really would like to have his marbles. So she took her bag of candy and went out and handed it to him and said, here's my candy. I would like to have your bag of marbles. So the boy went into his room and he poured that bag of marbles out on his bed. Boy, he hated to give them up. They were a treasure to him. And the thought came to him. He said, I'll keep the best of them, and I'll give the rest to her. So he sorted off a few of his prized marbles and slid them under his pillow, put the rest back in the bag, and went out and handed them to his sister. That night, she was sleeping soundly. And across the hallway, he could not sleep. You know why? All night long, he kept wondering, I wonder if she gave me all the candy. Young people, tonight, until we come to a place of full surrender, until we come to that place in our life that we're willing to give all to God, to the Lord, we will never know the peace. We will never know the security, the trust brings to our life and to our relationship. And I submit to you tonight that when you bring your all to Him, you will know that He has given His all to you and for you. I, being in the way, the Lord led me. Tonight, as we would sing a hymn of invitation, if there is one here that is yet to give your life into the control of the Lord Jesus Christ, I would invite you to stand while we sing a hymn of invitation. If you would desire to experience His blood, His cleansing, His forgiveness in your life. But if there's a young person here tonight that feels there's a need for rededication, maybe you've been holding back a few of the marbles, and tonight you're ready to lay them all on the altar. I would invite you to stand in a statement of recommitment tonight while we sing. Stand and be recognized. What shall we sing?